Lord, thank you for this most joyous of mornings, and we pray that as we look into your word this morning, you confirm us in our faith and give us just power and courage for our pilgrimage in you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please sit. Well, welcome everyone. It's always a great celebration on Easter morning and Christmas morning because we get to join with saints from all over the place. I'm just curious, is anyone here from out of the state? From Victoria or Tasmania or somewhere like that? Well, very, very much welcome. The rest of you perhaps are from, I don't know, Canberra, Sydney, maybe even local. So anyway, it's great to see you all. It's always a terrific celebration on Easter morning. These readings are familiar, very familiar. We hear them year after year on Easter, and so we should, because they are the centre point of our faith. The one that we've just listened to this morning from the Gospel of John isn't just an eyewitness account of the drama that unfolded that Easter morning. If we look a little deeper, we find that it actually gives us a snapshot of four of Jesus' disciples and how they reacted to this mind-blowing event that we call the resurrection. And as we look at them, I wonder if we might just see something of ourselves in who they are and how they responded. So the main players in this drama are the disciples John, Peter, Thomas, and Mary Magdalene. Thomas is in there somewhere. A little bit later. Anyway, Mary was the woman that Jesus had dramatically healed. It wasn't Mary, the mother of Jesus. And she was one who became one of his most ardent followers. So we'll start with Mary. She was actually unique amongst Jesus' followers because she was present at the three key events that surrounded Jesus' final days. She was there when he died. She was there when he was buried. And she saw him raised from the dead. So Mary's experience of Jesus was powerful. It was dynamic. She'd been miraculously healed on top of that. So her encounter with Jesus was something that completely transformed her life. And so, because of these dramatic encounters with him, and because she'd walked closely with him throughout his earthly ministry, she found she could believe in the resurrection. Right from the start, when Jesus asked her to serve him by telling the other disciples he was alive, off she went. She did it without question. I guess if we were to talk to each other this morning, we'd find that there would be some of us who came to faith in Jesus through a dramatic encounter of some sort. We've just, I guess, mourned the loss of one of the greatest preachers in the last few generations, Billy Graham. And I'm sure, looking at a few of the grey heads, there might be some around here today who actually went forward at one of his two crusades in the late 50s and 60s. Has anyone here did that? Okay, a handful. More here than there were in St. Paul's. That is usually a dramatic conversion when we go forward at something like that. My own experience, or conversion, if you want to call it that, was just like that. Although it wasn't at a Billy Graham crusade. I met Jesus in my mid-teens at a Christian camp. And I came out of a completely unchristian or non-Christian background. And I was overwhelmed by that experience. I was in mid-high school. The whole high school knew within the next 48 hours. I just told everybody. I discovered, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that Jesus was real. It completely turned my life around. And I've never been the same. I know that there are many people who could tell a similar story. But of course, all of our encounters of faith or meetings with Jesus, they're not all the same. They're not all like that. And so we have John. Now, John was the youngest disciple. He's often referred to as the beloved disciple. We think he was probably in his late teens, early 20s, when he first met Jesus. Now, have a think about the people in your life of that age group. Grandchildren, children, nephews, nieces, whatever. Think about where they are in their life journey at that age, 18, 19, maybe early 20s. So that was John. And it seems that Jesus had something of a soft spot for him. The thing that stands out about John in this particular story was actually his lack of confidence. In the gospel account, just reminding you, we read that Peter and the other disciple, who was John, started for the tomb. Both were running. The other disciple, which is John, outran Peter. He got to the tomb first. He bent over and he looked in, but he wouldn't go in. Peter caught up and he went straight inside. And he saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth all folded up. And finally, John, who'd reached the tomb first, stepped inside. So he was hesitant. By Jewish law, having contact with a dead person made someone unclean, and they had to go through this purification ritual before they could be admitted to temple worship again. So maybe that was one of the reasons for John's hesitation. But maybe he was really close to Jesus. Maybe he just couldn't face it. And I suspect that was more the case. Perhaps he just couldn't face going into the tomb. Whatever it was, he held back. And so it took him a little longer than it took Mary to embrace the reality of the resurrection. The following verse says this: he saw and believed. Well, I'm not quite sure what it was John believed at this point, because the next part of the verse says the disciples, including John, still didn't understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Don't know what he believed, but obviously he believed something miraculous had happened, and his understanding grew. So we see from John's response to the resurrection that coming to faith in the risen Jesus wasn't as instant as it was for Mary. It was more of a journey. It was more progressive. He did finally have the courage to take that step towards belief by entering the tomb. And we know from the rest of Scripture that John grew to be one of the greatest leaders of the church, of the early church. In fact, he was the only disciple who lived through the persecution of Nero. And if you know your history, that was pretty grim. He finally ended up in exile on the Greek island of Patmos. And John was able to share his wisdom and maturity with the early church and left behind for us three letters and the book of Revelation. And of course, they form a significant part of the New Testament scriptures. So all that from that very hesitant beginning. Now, perhaps we see ourselves in John's response to the resurrection. You know, we can have a basic belief in the Christian message, and yet we can be hesitant to commit ourselves fully to the risen Jesus. Maybe we think we need more information, or maybe we need more courage, whatever it is. We perhaps are a little hesitant. Well, let's have a look at Peter. Now, Peter's a really interesting character. I wonder if we might identify with him. Like John, he wasn't convinced about the resurrection right away, because we read that after this, the disciples returned to their homes. Now, had they been fully convinced at that time that Jesus had been raised from the dead, surely they'd have shouted it from the rooftops. Later, when the disciples were together, Jesus appeared to them, and from then, Peter too began to believe. But I think the real shift for Peter came a little bit later. Now, if you remember Peter's story, this is alluded to, we know that Peter was carrying a lot of guilt. You remember that earlier, Peter had boldly stated that he would go with Jesus, he would die with him if he had to. Yet when he was arrested, when Jesus was arrested, Peter fled. And then later, when he crept up there to find out what was going on, and he was challenged, three times he denied that he knew Jesus. He was saving his own skin. Then he caught Jesus' gaze. He realised his cowardice, and he ran weeping from the scene. And he was carrying that morning at the tomb. And it wasn't until some time later, when Jesus actually appeared to a group of them on the beach after his resurrection, that Peter was able to fully commit himself to the risen Jesus. And again, you'll know the story. Jesus cooking some fish on the beach. He offered the disciples some breakfast when they came in from fishing. And during that conversation, he asked Peter three times if Peter loved him. As Peter said yes each time, Jesus affirmed his calling to be the leader among the disciples. One time for each time Peter had denied him. And I think that's amazing. Just that loving encounter with Jesus following the resurrection. So Peter left that encounter healed and restored, and he too became a powerful witness for Jesus. So Peter needed some deep healing before he felt he could fully follow the risen Christ. And I wonder if some of us relate to that. You know, I've spoken to people over the years in pastoral encounters who've had all sorts of stories. They've lost family members. They've had some sort of tragedy in their life. And they've told me, sadly, that it's meant that it's destroyed their faith. They can't believe in God anymore because of what's happened to them. Peter was one of those. Maybe we too carry some guilt or some deep hurts which prevent us from being able to commit ourselves to the risen Christ. Maybe we need some healing to happen before we can come to faith in Jesus. And then there's Thomas, of course, who features in the story a little bit later. Doubting Thomas, he's been called. I think he gets a bad deal with that. He was pretty good. Thomas was the disciple who found that his analytical mind got in the way of him believing in the resurrection. The first time Jesus appeared to the disciples, Thomas wasn't there. He missed it. And of course, the next time Thomas was with the disciples and they enthused about this amazing thing that had happened to them, Jesus appearing to them, Thomas got a bit snaky. And he said, I don't believe. He said, I'm going to have to put my fingers in the holes in his hand and my hand in his side before I believe. Well, Jesus met Thomas at his point of need. Thomas really needed to see Jesus for himself, particularly in the light of the life that Jesus was going to call him to live. Thomas, along with all of the other disciples, other than John, died a martyr's death. And you don't do that just for a principle, just for some sort of intellectual fact that you've got your head around. You need an encounter. You need a faith. And Thomas had that. And so Jesus specifically addressed his doubts and invited him to believe. Thomas was finally convinced. He knelt before Jesus, "My Lord and my God." So maybe there's something in Thomas that we see in ourselves. I wonder if we feel that Jesus rising from the dead is perhaps a little far-fetched in the 21st century. Do we want to understand God more fully with our minds before we finally commit ourselves to the risen Jesus? Maybe that's where we are. If we can relate to Thomas or any other of these disciples and their response to the resurrection, we just need to know that these responses are quite normal. They're human. Some of us, like John, will be hesitant about committing ourselves to Jesus. Some of us, like Peter, will have baggage that gets in the way. And some of us, like Thomas, will want to dissect matters of faith and have all of our doubts removed before we're willing to embrace the risen Christ. And of course, there are those who will have had this dramatic encounter and dive in boots and all. Well, wherever we might be on this spectrum of responses, the thing we need to remember is that the deepest desire of God's heart is for us to come to know him. Not just know about him, to know him, to encounter him. In other words, to enter into a friendship with him, where we can communicate intimately with him, where he can deal with the sin and the brokenness in our lives and heal all that separates us from him. The whole reason for the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus was so that we, as individuals, we in the human race could be reconciled to God. He wants to come and live within us, to empower us to reach our full potential. He wants each of us to serve him in the church and in the world. He wants to transform us into his image. In the same way that God met the disciples at their point of need, so he will meet us. We need to ask him to do that. And then we'll find that whether we're hesitant or broken or doubtful, God will work with us and in us and bring us to that point where we, like Thomas, can bow before him and say, "My Lord and my God." Lord Jesus, risen Lord Jesus, thank you for your love and your patience. Work within each one of us to strengthen our faith and draw us closer to you, that we, like Thomas, may bow before you, our Lord and our God. Amen.